are recruiters for Christ. We are recruiters for Christ. We are called to make disciples and show the world our light. We are recruiters for Christ. We are recruiters for Christ. And if our words are loud enough, they'll know us by our light. We are recruiters.
What up, what up, what up? This is The Recruit. You tuned in with Adrian Reese. Brought to you by Sword Radio. Big ups to my man, PDP Richardson, for putting us on, giving us this opportunity. And as always, I'm excited about the show. Extra excited about today because of my guests. But before we kick anything off, we want to start it off like we always do with prayer. Welcoming God into what we're doing, Lord, because it is because of Him that we do it. And so everybody who's tuned in, listening, ask you just bow your head wherever you are. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we come to you now, God, first of all, saying thank you. Thanking you for this time, this moment where you brought us to, Lord, everything that you're about to do, Lord, everything that you've done. We thank you, Lord, for just doing what you do, Lord, and providing for us in every way needed, God. And we ask you just watch over us this now, in this moment, this time, that you may be heard and not us. That you may be felt, Lord, you may be seen, Father God. You become real in someone's life tonight, Father God, that they will come to you, Lord. They will develop a better understanding of you, Father God, and develop a personal relationship with you, God. And we ask you just remove any nervousness that may be going on right now, Lord, between me or with my guests, Father God, and just word our mouths, God, again, that you may be heard, Father God, and not us. Allow us to decrease so that you may increase, God. And to simply put it, God, you just do your thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so I'm excited. Like I said before, I'm excited, as always. I'm excited to just be hosting this show because it's a privilege, it's an honor for God to even open the door, give me the opportunity to host the show, because I always say, and I always want to make sure to say, that this is not my show. This is God's show. I'm just a steward over it right now. I'm the one he allowed to be the steward over it. But at the end of the day, it's God's show. I want him to be heard and not me. But today, I've got a special guest with me, my brother. One of my older brothers. I have three older brothers, but he's the one closest in age to me. He's a year older than me. Damien Reese, my big brother Damien. But just a little brief history on me and him. As I already stated, he's my brother. We grew up, we're the closest in age. We grew up doing everything together. It's eight of us for the last two of eight. And we were always doing everything together. I was kind of following his lead. He's my older brother. And, you know, he was always a trendsetter in his own way. And he was a trendsetter, but in a way that was different from most, in a sense of he didn't do the things that most people viewed as popular, like playing sports or things of that sort or going out and or doing whatever like that. But he was always in church. I mean, that's what he did. But he has that quality that draws people to him. And the way that God is using him now within the church and for his to build his kingdom, it's just, it blows my mind. And, you know, he it's just his story and his testimony is encouraging to me. But I don't want to take all the shine from him. I want to leave him something to say. So I just, with no further ado, I'd like to welcome my guest, Mr. Damien Reese. What's up, Damien?
What's going on? What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much, you know. And it's good to have you on, man. Great to have you on. And
glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you. And I've already given a little brief history on you, but go ahead and tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Well, let's see. As he stated already, my name is Damien Reese. I serve as a senior pastor at the St. James Baptist Church in Gladewater, Texas. Adrian's already told you he's my brother. He talks about how much I taught him, but the feeling is mutual. He's taught me just as much by watching his life. I love what I do. I've got about 9 or 10 different jobs. And let's see. I'm married, got a wife, and 3 daughters. In those 3 daughters, I've got a set of twins. You can just imagine how my life is set up. But for the most part, I'm just excited to be used by God and excited about what he's doing through me and with me and for me for the furtherance of his kingdom. And I'm just elated to be asked to be on this show. I'm just glad to be on here with Adrian.
And now, you gave us a little history, but, man, I just got to say, I know, like you stated, you're the pastor, senior pastor of St. James Baptist Church. And now for everybody who, just for clarity, were you that's not the denomination that you were raised in, was it?
No, not at all. In fact, I was raised in some call Kojic, some call it Holiness, one of those hand-clapping, foot-stomping kind of churches where you wet your clothes. And when you, by the time you're out of church, if your clothes ain't wet, you ain't really had no church. But that's more like the kind of church we were raised in. And denominations is like the furthest thing from my mind. You know, just so happened I'm pastoring a Baptist church, but I'd do the same thing if I was in a Pentecostal church, Church of Christ church. But no, being raised in the holiness, I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't change none of it. It was the best. It taught me a lot because my parents taught me that holiness is a lifestyle, not so much a denomination. Many people would tell you, I belong to the holiness church. Yeah, but are you holy? So I'm grateful that I was raised in the holiness church, and being baptized, I was baptized in the Church of Christ. And that's kind of strange to most. You raised Kojic, holiness, baptized physically, submerged in water in the Church of Christ, and then pastoring a Baptist church. So I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but that's what the Lord wanted it to be like. But, yeah, it didn't start out Baptist, but that's where I am right now. And the Lord is continuing to blow my mind. I don't understand it. I don't expect you to, but the Lord knows best.
And that's, like, your testimony, just everything you just stated in the sense of just your track record of being raised holiness, Kojic, baptized, Church of Christ, now leading, pastoring in a Baptist church. There's so many different denominations, but at the same time, me knowing your walk and knowing your Christian walk, knowing that every step in that path was led by God. And
that's a
testament in itself that, you know, a denomination is nothing more than just that. It's just a denomination. It's just a title, but we're all serving the same God, Jesus Christ. And our topic for tonight, you know, I prayed hard to, you know, for God to give me a topic. Give me a topic, God. Give me the topic. But just and God was just opening my eyes to so many different things. And just like you just hit on earlier when you were introducing yourself, you do so much. For everybody who doesn't know, that I really don't know nothing you don't do. You're a barber, you conduct funerals, you're a pastor, you're a musician, you're a father, you're a husband, you do it all. And you're almost a jack of all trades. And so, you know, really right before the show, God placed on my heart that the topic is availability. Are we available to be used by God? And you know, that's something that I really wanted to talk to you about, because just like you just stated, you've been used in several different denominations. You started, you were raised holiness, you were a musician in the Holiness and Kojic Church, and you were baptized in the Church of Christ, and now you're a pastor in the Baptist, of a Baptist church. And so when it comes to availability to Christ, what exactly does that mean to you, just being available to be used?
To become available to be used is simply ready and suitable for service. I think where we get it wrong is most people confuse ability with availability. It's not so much what you're able to do, but more so what you're willing to do. And mm-hmm. and then, too, to be available is not all the time what you're willing to do, because there's a lot of things in this Christian walk that I didn't want to do. But because I made myself available to God, he allowed me to understand and come to the knowledge that things he's going to have me to do is not my choice. And when you make yourself available, you got to be careful how you use that word available, because it simply means ready. It's almost like if you're not ready, you got to be able to get ready quickly. It's almost like sitting on the bench in a basketball game. You know, you may not ever get in the game, but there's one time coach calls for you. You got to be ready to strip those pants or suits or whatever you got on and get on the floor. You got to be available. But most of you never see a basketball player sitting on the sideline on the bench with a 3-piece suit, tie, and alligators on. Because if it becomes time for him to get in the game, he ain't available, because he got to go do so much to get ready. You got to become available. And like I said, many people, they get it twisted, because they tell you what all they know how to do. But if you got the ability without availability, you're really just wasting time, really. But you got to be available. And to become available, it's a lot of give and a lot of take, but more give than take. Go ahead.
And, like you said, it's more give than take, and just being available and simply being ready, as you put it. And like you stated, and like we both stated before, you do so much. Like I said, you're a musician, you're a barber. Everybody knows you probably around town as something different. And when they find out you do something else, they're like, oh, you do that too? But at the, in doing all of those things, you know, you had to be willing to try, to step out and to try.
Right.
And be willing to fail. Because that, all of the things that you're good at now, when you initially set out to do them or pursued them, was there any fear, or maybe not fear, but just nervousness associated with it in just stepping into something new?
Oh, man, yes. I wouldn't dare tell you I wasn't nervous. And I believe there ought to be some sense of nervousness in all that you do, not so much that you're unsure if this is what you're supposed to be doing, but you just want to be sure that you do what you're supposed to be doing correctly. Because a lot of times we can be doing what we're called to do, but we do the right thing wrong, which will cause us to conclude early what we should be still doing because we did it the wrong way. But, I mean, yes, I at times I'm still nervous. But, you know, when you know that God has called you to do a thing, you feel better about it. But a lot of times, many may not know it, but I'm always nervous. Not because I'm unsure if this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but more so I want to please God. I want to do it right. I want to not being self, want to do it his way, you know. So all year I'm nervous, and I believe if you ask me 10 years from now, I'll still be nervous.
And so when you say doing what you're called to do and doing it the right way, how is it? You know, a question, especially really for anybody, any Christian, whether you're a believer or a non-believer, everybody is searching for a purpose. Everybody is wondering, you know, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? What is my calling? So when you say when you're sure about your calling, how is it that you're sure? What makes you sure about your calling to not just preach but the pastor?
Well, you know, the Lord has a strange way of revealing things to each individual. And I believe that the Bible says your gift will make room for you.
Uh-huh.
And if God has called and gifted you to do a thing, when you do it, you ought to see some fruit of your labor. And I guess when I say that is, what I'm trying to portray is, whatever you're doing, somebody ought to be being blessed by your works. If ever what you're doing is fruitless, you just might ought to think about if that's your calling.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are times that people do things for 50 years that they're not called to do, but because it's convenient. And you can't intertwine your calling with convenience.
Uh-huh.
Because if you've been called to do a thing, that's going to be a lot of time. It's inconveniencing to you. But the Lord called you to do it because he knew you would be able to perfectly categorize what it is that he wants you to do. And I guess basically in a nutshell, what I'm saying is, no, if there's nobody being blessed or reaping any kind of benefits by what you're doing, that just might not be your calling. Somebody ought to be receiving some kind of benefits or some kind of blessing or bettering a prayer life or bettering a relationship. I believe that that's how you know you've been called to do something. The scripture also tells us that gifts come without repentance. There are people who can do some things, and you would think that they have a good relationship with the Lord, but that's not so. They just gifted.
Uh-huh.
And just think about what the Lord could do with them if they really totally gave themselves to him, because they got the gifts. They have the appointment without the anointment. But once you get the anointment and the appointment, you ain't seen
now,
the last of
it. What exactly do you mean by the appointment but not the anointment?
When I say appointment without anointment, what I'm saying is you may have the right people in your corner to put you in the right places, the right people to speak on your behalf to get you to higher places and to come and rub shoulders with people you never thought you would rub shoulders with, or get you a position you never thought you would get, which really the only thing that got you there was your appointment, but the thing that'll keep you there will be the anointing, because the anointing, the scripture says, the anointing destroys the yoke. And when you are anointed, when God has anointed you to do something, not only you will know it, but everyone around you will know it. And I believe that that's the reason our church world is in a bit of trouble, so to speak, because we have a lot of people who have the appointment, but they have not been anointed to do this work, because if you're gonna do this the Lord's work, you got to be anointed. I can't come up with a better way to say it. You got to be anointed, because the Holy Spirit will give you what to say right then. Sometimes you don't know what to say, but if you're anointed, the Lord will tell you what to say. And you'll look back and thank God for the anointing, because you know within yourself you never would have said that or done that or went that way or took that route, but because there's an anointing on your life, he guides you and he leads you. And that's what I'm saying when I say the difference between anointment and appointment, because it's not, you've heard people say all the time, it's not so much about what you know, it's who you know. Because who you know can get you a lot of places, but what you know will keep you in that place.
I'm glad you elaborated on that, because, you know, like I said, I credit you as the first person I heard to say that God doesn't qualify, God doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. And hearing that, it stuck with me, because it opened my eyes to how, just like everything you're saying, when you have that anointing and you're in a position where you're not necessarily qualified for, and the Holy Spirit gives you what to say at the right time, in the right moment, with the right tone, to the right person, to where it is right on time. And that's in thinking about, like you hit on with the state of our church today, and not even so much the church, but just even in our world, because as a young man myself, and I know a lot of people go through it within the church, we want to have a role, we want to have some type of title, something to do. We want to have a job within the church, and we make ourselves available. But when it comes down to it, and we were kind of talking about it before, you know, it's just like going in for a job, and you fill out an application. You put down your qualifications, you put down everything you've done, your job history, your education, everything that qualifies you, and you apply for a particular position. But a lot of times, sometimes the employer may come back and say, well, that position has already been filled, but we can use you over here. And when it comes down to it, that's when, like you said, just being ready to be used wherever we're needed. And a lot of times, I can't say a lot of times, but sometimes in the church, we're needed in a different place, but we're not available or ready or willing to be used in that particular position. Now, is that when I know you're going on 2 years being pastor of St. James Baptist Church in Gladewater, and so was that ever an issue for you, just in you serving, as far as being equipped or being asked to do something that you didn't necessarily apply for or want to do, but you did it anyway? And if so, what was the result of it?
Well, let me start off in response to your question by saying I never had the intentions to pastor where I am. All of that was the Lord's doing. And you know, things transpired, and the church was vacant, and they inquired about myself. And during their inquiring about me, that was kind of funny to me, because I'm thinking all the people who are more qualified than I, they're not looking at them, but instead they come and look for me, and that caused me to question what's really, you know, it's kind of funny. It was kind of funny, like, what's really going on, you know. That surely they don't want me. But you know, I prayed about it, and then I prayed some more, and then I prayed some more. When I got done, I prayed some more. And then when I got done with that, I prayed a little more because I wanted to be sure that the voice I was hearing was the voice of the Lord, and I wanted to be sure that the church where I was going that was calling me was aware of my background, because it's no secret that Baptist churches don't really seek preachers who have a holiness background. That's just like holiness churches don't inquire about preachers who have a Baptist background. That's just how it is, you know. And so all of that was strange to me, and I kind of felt like I wasn't the man for the job until the Lord gave me clarity on what he wanted me to do. And one way he gave me clarity is when I spoke with the officers of the church and laid everything out on the table and let them know where I came from, where I am, and where I'm trying to go. And they were very receptive to it. To most people who know anything about the culture of denominations, they know that that has to be the Lord, because you know, that's just uncommon. You know, we need a good Baptist preacher, you know, if we're a Baptist church. And Kojic churches, we need a good Kojic preacher if we're a Kojic church. But that's not what was happening in this instance. And things fell into place so smoothly till, again, we spoke about nervousness earlier, I was nervous all over again, because I prayed to God that things would be smooth. And when things began to go so smooth, I got nervous because I felt like it was falling into place too good, you know. And I would describe St. James as a church who had everything that they needed except for drive and ambition and, you know, the go get them. You know, they had all the components. Each Sunday they had 50 to 60 youth just to come each Sunday, and they just needed somebody to motivate them. And I described it as a church who was spiritually on life support. This church had been through a few upsets and fell on hard times a few times, as any other ministry. And quite naturally, a lot of people in the church were just tired. They were just, it felt like they were going nowhere fast, like they were just doing all the wrong things. And when I got there, and, you know, not accrediting me for anything, the Lord done all of this. I have nothing to do with it. I was just a vessel he used. But things just began to happen, and the church began to grow, and people who had left the church began to come back, and we're still just trying to do what the Lord is calling us to do, and just trying to, like you said, remain available. Because, of course, you know, every church has those people who have the ability but not availability. I mean, they can do it. They can do what you need them to do. As with a lot of churches, we shouldn't have to seek outside help. Everything we need a lot of times is sitting in the pews out there, but people feel like they're inadequate and you know, they're not the person for the job. And I tell people all the time, I preach holiness and I preach come out of your sins and all of that stuff, but if you would take the average person out of the church on a random Sunday and ask them what's a sin, what's not a sin, they know all of that. People really know what's wrong, what's right. All we need in most of our churches is an anointed, motivational speaker. That's what we need. Because they know what's right, they know what's wrong, they just need somebody to encourage them how to get through this next week. You know, we try to, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just saying, just need somebody to push them, encourage them.
Right, right. Like, everybody needs encouragement. I need encouragement.
And there's a few older ladies at the church. They may not know how much of an encouragement they serve to me, but they always say, every Sunday this lady comes to me, she say, "Pastor, keep on preaching. Somebody gonna hit you after a while." Every Sunday she says the same thing to me. And that encourages me. Mother Powell, who is 94 years old, she encourages me by her availability. You talk about availability. She's 94. She doesn't miss a Sunday. She doesn't miss Bible study. She doesn't miss a revival. She doesn't miss a 3 o'clock service that I travel to. You talk about availability, and that speaks volume, because we got people who, in good health, they can run, they can do what they want to do, but they just want to come and sit. Mm-hmm. And when you see a mother of the church in her 90s who's still going and vital, and it speaks to you and lets you know that if you stay active, you stay alive. Not only if you stay active, you stay alive physically. You stay active, you'll stay alive spiritually.
Mm-hmm. You got to have an active faith.
Yeah, you got to have an active faith. You got to have that. It's very important that you have an active faith, because Scripture teaches us that you can't please God without faith. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. A lot of times we read over that, but man, that's powerful. If you don't believe, you can't please Him. Okay, how much singing you do, how much preaching, how much praying, you know, if you don't believe, you can't please Him.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible.
And you hit on a lot of things, but just wanted to touch on how you were saying, I believe Mother Powell is 94 years old, and she's there every Sunday. She's faithful. She's available. And there's probably plenty of things that she's available and she's willing to do that she physically cannot do. But there's a lot of us, you know, me included at times, who I can do physically a lot of things, but when my availability is lacking. And that's something that God really opened my eyes to, and when I committed my life to Christ a little over 4 years ago, that it's not so much, I was ignorant on a lot of things. I had, you know, a lot of, I was very legalistic. It's probably the best way to put it. I was very legal and traditional. I just went off what mom and them did, what mom and dad and them did, and what I always saw, and okay, that must be pop. It's in there somewhere. But, you know, God opened my eyes to the fact of just simply being available, making myself available, that because when there's things going on at the church, and you being a pastor, you may be able to attest to the fact that when you ask for volunteers, and even the ones who may volunteer, when you ask about, okay, when can you do it? Well, I can't do it on Thursday. Can't do it Wednesday night. I'm busy on Monday, but I can do it. I'm only available Sunday after church. Our availability, we have none.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to when it comes to our relationship with Christ, our availability to Christ. Okay, God, I want to be you. Show me my purpose. But I can't do it on Thursday night. Scandal come on. I can't do it on Monday night. You know, football game come on. Sunday after question, because that's football all day. And you know, my baby in college, man, I got to go to a game on Saturday. But, you know, there's no availability. And in keeping with the topic tonight, just are we available to be used? And you hit on earlier, how the Bible speaks on your gifts making room for you. And you saying you never pictured being in the position you are, being a pastor at St. James of a Baptist church. But everything that you do, or that you, every purpose that you serve in that church is, apparently, it's exactly what they needed. Like you said, they needed just some motivation. They just needed a motivational speaker to come in and give them that extra And you know, I heard someone say that's the difference. That's what creates a triumph.
you got to first try and then have somebody give you that extra oomph.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put the try with the oomph, you get the try oomph. And that's all that all that they needed, but your gifts made room for you in the Baptist community. And, you know, this may be me, but when it comes to Baptist preachers, it always seems like they talk slow and they talk real mellow and they'll say two words and then they'll pause and then they'll say three more and they'll pause and just in listening and talking to you, you know, you sound like a Baptist preacher. And when you said your gifts will make room for you, you gifted in the Baptist community already and you didn't even know it. And I believe that's one of the reasons why when you step in, they can receive you. They say, no, he got a little Baptist in him. I know he holy, he'll raise holy, he'll baptize Church of Christ, but he got a little Baptist in him. But that was God already equipping you with what he knew you was going to do. But it's just, yeah, and I want to refer back to the example of, you know, going into and filling out an application at a job, because any employer, you go to the CEO of a company, he can look over your application, he can see the position you're applying for, but all of your qualifications, everything, the way he talked to you, the way you shake your hand and all this, you may be applying to work the register at Walmart, but you got a pleasant smile, you're happy, and he know you need to be the greeter at the door. And he sees, okay, well, this is where you need to be. I know where you want to be, but this is what you really qualify for. Forget your education. Forget that degree or whatever you got. This is where we need you. And it's the same way in the church, because God created us. God knows exactly where he needs us. But when it comes down to it, are we available? And, you know, I really wanted to just ask you, what is it that in growing up, like I said before, and you were always in church. What is it about, what was it growing up that drew you to the church, that made you make yourself so available to be used at first just as a musician and then progressing more and more from there? What is it that drew you to the church and that made you to allow yourself to be available to God?
Well, what it is, you know, you hear people talk about, they refer to the Holiness Church as that wooden Holiness Church down the road in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would always say, I went to that little Holiness Church, you know. And I was, as a kid, I loved to be in the Holiness Church. One, because something, and people may want to be deeper, want to appear deep, but really a lot of that stuff was funny.
Uh-huh.
A lot of it was funny. It had meaning, but it was hilarious. And what drew me to it is I love to laugh, one, and I would go to see what was going to happen tonight that was going to just tear me up. I was going to die laughing.
Who you going to laugh at, basically?
Who I was going to laugh at. In the process of me going to get a laugh, I end up going and getting the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go for him, but I ended up getting him. And I would oftentimes see folk call it that quickening, when the older folk would jape and they would catch the Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
But you can't catch the Holy Ghost. You got to get it. You can't catch it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they call it catching the Holy Ghost. And I would want to see, what's to this Holy Ghost? I've been seeing this all my life. What's to this Lord? What make them run like that? But then, you know, you hear people say, I went to a meeting one night, and my heart wasn't right, and something got a hold of me. That's my testimony. I went one night, I went to laugh, but something got a hold of me, and somebody laughed at me that night, and I knew the Lord proved to me that his spirit is real. You know, the scripture teaches us to try the spirit by the spirit. You can't look at spiritual things with a carnal mind. That's what I was doing. I was laughing at what they were doing within the spirit. And like I said, if you know anything about holiness as a denomination and anything about Baptist as a denomination, they're completely different denominationally. But at the end of the day, the Baptist folk got to live holy. The holiness folk got to live holy. The Church of Christ folk got to live holy. The scripture says, be ye holy, for I am holy.
I am holy.
Whatever denomination you are, you must possess the spirit of holiness. And I love the Kojic Church, the Holiness Church, the Baptist Church. I love the Lord. So wherever he is, I'm in good company. The people will say all the time, you know, the Lord knows my heart, you know. And really that's just a cop-out to tell you, to get you to believe, I want to do what you're asking me, but for some reason I can't. They're not available. And I believe every preacher, pastor, I believe every pastor experiences members who have the ability, but they're just not available. They want the blessings of God without being used by God. I mean, you ask them, can you do the welcome at our church anniversary 2 months from now? Let me pray about it. Well, what you got to pray for? All you got to do is get up there and do the what you praying for? Well, can you sing a song? Oh, I don't know. But they'll sing all the way to the car. They'll sing all the way to the house. They can do everything they want to do on their own terms. That's not availability. You got to be willing to forget your will and do his will. How you going to have to pray to the Lord about praying? If the pastor asks you to pray on program, you got to have 2 month notice because you got to pray about it. That ain't the Lord. That's only because of our perception of prayer. We think we got to start off slow and say these words and build up and say the right
thing. Gotta be done in a certain way.
Yeah, prayer is talking to the Lord. However you talk to him, just do it in the mic, in front of folks. You got to pray about praying. I never could understand that concept. And I guess, you know, a lot of times in my early pastorage and early in the ministry, people would ask me to do things all the time. And folk would always say, you ain't scared to do nothing. Well, I was scared. I just didn't want folk to feel like I was inadequate or I couldn't do it. So I would do it to try to prove them wrong. But then people would always tell me, you're going to preach one day. Oh, you're going to preach. I didn't like that. And it made me respond to the call to preach a little later because I didn't want folk to think I was answering the call to preach because they said I'm going to preach.
You were answering their call, but God.
Yeah, I wanted them to know I wasn't answering their call. But I was answering the Lord's call. And I tell you, man, we just had a vision service at our church last night. And that's just for me to allow them to know the vision and the direction of this church. And it sounds cliche-ish, but it's very true. If you don't go, you don't grow. And the reason you learn more and you grow more and you see more, and you do more, is because you go more. The more you go and see, the more you'll know to do. And I guess because I go so much, I'm always open to learning something or trying to import or impart or interject some things that I've learned into what I'm doing to make sure that I'm not in the way of anybody seeing Christ. I always want to make sure I'm not a deterrent or I'm not a block. Because sometimes you can be so heavenly minded, you're of no earthly benefit. And, you know, you ever seen somebody who's so saved they can't laugh? They can't have a good time. God didn't intend for us to walk around here frowning, don't enjoy life. You're supposed to enjoy life, and you can still please God in the way of enjoying life. And I just try to get the best out of every day and still be available.
I just want to in talking. We never stated your age, but you know how old are you? I just want everybody to know how old you are.
Well, it's October now. So last month I turned 29.
I'm 29. I wanted to clarify that because, like I said, about the talking slow and every two words, you sound like a Baptist preacher, but you sound like an old Baptist preacher. and so I just want to clarify that you're only 29. You're not even 30 years old. But if they just hear you on the radio and they never seen you, they never seen you in person or met you or anything like that, they would think you may be in late 50s or early because your spirit, you have, you heard it all your life, and I've heard people tell you all your life that you have an old spirit. And but when I look around at where God placed you, who God placed you around, He's placed you around more of the elderly at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
In a place that was established, in a church that was already established, there was more elderly, so God had to send somebody to them where they spoke their language. Spoke their language. But the preacher spoke their language, but he was totally different from what they're used to seeing. And that's something that, the whole concept of being available and the whole topic of being available is a lot of times, I think we get caught up in, I'm not sure if that's my purpose, or I'm not sure if that's what I'm supposed to be doing, so I don't want to do it and waste time. And like we hit on before, you're able to do so much, but a lot of that ability that you now have came from simply trying it in the first place.
So do you think
that there's a lack of try now, not just in the church, but just in our Christian walk?
Oh, yes. When you get comfortable, comfort kills. Comfort kills ambition. It kills drive. It kills your blessings a lot of times because we're so comfortable, we get so comfortable in where we are, so we don't want to try to get where God wants us to be. We're scared. We're scared to try. A lot of the things I've experienced were birthed from me just trying something. And when I tried it, of course, we're our own hardest critic. You know, I would say, oh, I didn't do that good. But then people would say, oh, man, none of that. You know, and you'd be like, oh, they just saying that because I know that wasn't, you know. But it came from just trying. And if you just try something, you'll teach yourself and everybody else what you really can do. You can't be afraid to try. That sounds so elementary. That sounds so preschool. But there are a lot of Christians, a lot of adults, period, who suffer because they're afraid to try.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, she talks about all the things she don't eat. She don't like that. She never tasted it. So I'm like, how do you know you don't like that if you never tried it? But my mama don't eat that. Oh, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Your mama don't eat it. And there are a lot of people in this world who are not doing things because mama didn't do it, daddy didn't do it, grandma didn't do it. But really, if they try it, they'll find out they like it.
Uh-huh.
so they make themselves miss out because they're afraid to try it. And I just, you know, if somebody's listening, that might be a word to somebody. Just try it. The worst thing could happen is you don't succeed. You know that ain't your calling. On to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be afraid to try it.
And that's, I just wanted to kind of jump in right there just in simply trying. Because before making yourself available, before anybody even wonders about your availability, they want to see some type of try. Before the, and I keep going back to the illustration of the application and the employer, before he even asks you about your availability, when you're available to work, you got to try to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
You got to
mm-hmm.
try. You got to do something and try. And like you said, a lot of times, you know, and I'm guilty of it myself still to this day, a lot of things God is really opening my eyes to, you know, that I never tried because Daddy never tried. Daddy didn't do it, so I don't need to do it.
Right.
I chose Daddy.
Right.
But is my faith in Daddy or is my faith in God?
Is
Daddy giving me to heaven or is God giving me to heaven? And so, you know, I want to just segue there for anybody who's listening. Anybody who's listening, whether you're young, old, in between, anybody, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, try. Tonight is a perfect night to try. Just try. Try. And this is one thing that I know, even though the results may vary in your situation, the end result will always be the same. He's going to be good, and he's going to be just enough. But
mm-hmm.
I just want to encourage whoever is listening, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, to repeat this prayer, to just pray this prayer with me and repeat this prayer amongst yourself and accept Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. And so anybody, if you're willing to try, just try Jesus. If you're willing to try Jesus, just pray this prayer with me. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, I come to you confessing that I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in my place and for my sin. I now am trusting him alone to forgive me and give me the gift of eternal life that he promised to give to anyone that came to him for it. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. Amen.
Amen.
And for anybody who just repeated that prayer and welcomed God into your heart, into your life, I want us to be the first one to say congratulations. Welcome to the team.
Welcome
to the team, as they say, squad up, because we're getting stronger. We get stronger. There's strength in numbers. And for everybody who just accepted that prayer, the show is titled The Recruit for a Reason, because the I'm getting tongue-tied, but God told us to go ye therefore and make disciples. And all that is just recruiting people. All we do is we recruit people. God told the disciples to go ye therefore and make disciples because they were already disciples. They were already on God's team. Okay, go get some old people. Come join the team. And that's what we are called to do. That's what all of us are called to do. But are we available to do it? And so in repeating that prayer and accepting Christ and saying that verbally, in every recruiting process, there comes a time of commitment. When I was being recruited for college, different college coaches would come sit in my living room. They would talk to me, and I'm not too my own horn. I'm just stating facts, you know. But they would come and they would talk to me. But at the end of the day, I had to give a verbal commitment. But when it didn't mean anything until I signed on the dotted line. And the way you sign on the dotted line is every day in the life that we live. You know, we can
mm-hmm.
say it. We can say it. We can proclaim Christ as our Savior through our mouth. But we have to put feet to our faith and really walk it out, to literally walk it out every day. And I just want to congratulate everybody who accepted Christ into your life now, just now at this moment. And I want to thank you, Damon, for just being on the show
for being on the show, man. It was a blessing to me, just like it always is talking to you. It was a blessing to me, and I know it was a blessing to whoever was listening. But I just want to give you this opportunity. If anybody wanted to get in touch with you, if they want to ask you a question, if they wanted to come and hear you preach and see that you only 29 and you're not 60, how would they do that?
Well, of course, I'm on Facebook. Damien Reese, I'm on Facebook, DamienReese. And then once you find my page, you'll find the St. James Baptist Church link. You can follow me on Twitter at DReese86, DReese86 at Twitter, Instagram at RightReven, RiteReven. Follow me. I want to get to know you. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And maybe we can meet someday and worship together, or, you know, from whatever the Lord would have us to do. But, Adrian, I've enjoyed it tonight, and thank you for having me on.
And man, I enjoyed it, too. And everybody, you heard it right there. You can follow on Twitter at, I believe it was DReese86.
That's it.
At DReese86 on Twitter. I'm sorry, on Instagram at RightReven, R-I-T. RiteRev. You know, they abbreviate everything. So that abbreviation right there shows he's only 29. He's not 60. Because I don't know many 60-year-olds who have that handle on Instagram.
Well, my Instagram is RiteReven, RiteReven.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then on my Twitter, at DReese86, that 86 is the year I was born, so you know I ain't 60. I'm just 29.
Oh, okay, and if you still don't believe him, come to St. James on Sunday morning. Check him out for yourself. See him in the flesh.
Yeah.
And just real quick, give him that. Can you give the address to the church of whoever who may want to come and check it out?
The St. James Missionary Baptist Church is located at 2800 West Commerce Avenue, Gladewater, Texas, 75647. And if you want to experience the Lord and have an encounter with him, not that you can't have it anywhere else, but you can come and listen to a holiness-raised preacher baptized in the Church of Christ Church and pastoring at a Baptist church. If you don't believe all that could happen, just come to St. James. We'll show you.
And just try. And you heard, you know how you can get in touch with him. And, of course, all of y'all know how you can get in touch with me. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Soul, S-O-U-L, underscore Fisherman, at Soul, underscore Fisherman. And you can hit me up on Facebook or go to my blog, AdrianReese.com, or you can shoot me an email, Adrian@AdrianReese.com. Send any ideas you may have for the show, anything you want to hear, any guests you may want to have, questions, whatever it may be, holler at me. But, Damien, I wanted to give you this last chance to have the final word, just anything you may want to leave people with, a word of encouragement, whatever it may be. You got the floor.
Well, I guess since we're talking about availability tonight, there are a lot of people who are in this world and probably listening in who have the ability, but you know that you have not been available, and anything that's unavailable is not being used. And if the Lord can't use you, that just means you're unavailable. And if you're too busy for the Lord to use you, you're just too busy.
Mm-hmm.
So I say to anybody listening, if you have not been, become available. If you're not in a Bible-based church who teaches about Jesus, you need to get there, because I know you've heard all your life that Jesus is soon to come. And that doesn't mean he ain't coming no more. That just means he's closer now than he was then. So I encourage everybody who's listening to become available, not to so much other stuff, but become available to Jesus Christ. You'll find out that he's sweet, I know. And once you try it, you'll understand that Jesus is everything you've been looking for and everything you need. Give him a try. Become available.
And if that ain't no Baptist preacher, I don't know what is. So, but just like he said, become available. But, dude, I want to thank you again, David. We're running short on time. I want to thank you again for being on the show. But for all of my listeners, we'll be back same time 2 weeks from today, October 15th, with the topic Praise and Worship Beyond the Music with guests DJ and Brianna Whiting. And until then, be blessed and be real.